Or Benadryl, okay? I'm amused how commentators try to examine this escape in some kind of, to explain it away in some kind of rational or explainable way. But they're wasting their time because this is a miraculous escape. There doesn't have to be any kind of human explanation of what happened. And this is what happened. God kept the soldiers asleep. Okay, the angel wasn't whispering. Okay? God made it that way. Then God opened all three doors and the gates out onto the street. No one woke up because God made it that way. Peter didn't have to sneak. The angel didn't have to whisper. God's plan was that Peter would escape. So God's plan was that everybody in the fortress would be asleep except for Peter as he walked out. Our text tells us that Peter found himself suddenly alone on the street. And so he heads to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. It was apparently the headquarters. Apparently, this is quite a spacious home where many activities were held. No doubt there was a house church there for sure. They had worship meetings there. Some people think that maybe it was the location of the upper room where Pentecost began. Regardless, there was a huge prayer meeting going on in that house. And the objective of that prayer meeting, that is the planned outcome of the prayer time, was to pray until Peter was released. And this is one of the most fun accounts in all of Scripture. And I read it that way because it's fun. Peter goes up to the front. It's like you can't make this up. It's like what you'd see on a comedy sketch. Peter goes up to the front gate of the courtyard that surrounds a home and he bangs on the gate. And notice that God doesn't open this gate because that wasn't part of his plan. And Rhoda, the servant girl, who gets to be her name, we read about her 2,000 years later, that there was a young lady who was excited because she knew Peter's voice. That's how well this servant girl knew Jesus. And her name gets mentioned. Anyway, she goes to the door. She hears Peter's voice, and she doesn't open the door. She's so excited that she runs into the house where the prayer meeting is going on, goes on, and she tells them, Peter's at the gate. And the response of these praying saints who were praying for Peter to be released was, don't be crazy. He's in prison, and that's why we're praying. We want him released. So go away and don't bother us. They were following their plan to pray until Peter was released. Meanwhile, Peter keeps banging on the door until someone finally goes and opens it for him. And in an understated way, the text tells us they were amazed. They were amazed. Wow, we prayed and it happened. Everything went according to their plan, but they were still amazed. Isn't that the way humans are? We are amazed when God actually does what we asked him to do. But rest assured, God loves it when we go along with his plan. Meanwhile, Herod's plan was not going according to plan. What happened to Peter? We don't know. They couldn't find him. He was in hiding for sure. He probably left Jerusalem. The guards who had been on duty were punished for their dereliction. They lost their lives because they lost their prisoner. Actually, they were punished for Herod's evil plan, which had failed. So Herod moved on to the next plan. After all, He had to keep the citizenry happy, even though he wasn't happy with them. Now, Tyre and Sidon isn't really a Jewish area, by the way. And so he's struggling with this this population here. And remember, from what we've read in past weeks, there's a famine going on, okay? And these people, they came to him for a request famine relief, and he plays hard to get, okay? And so when they came for an audience with him, their compliments were flying thick and heavy. And they told him that he had a voice of a god. And certainly he was not a man. And he thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. I think I am a god. And he soon discovered, but not soon enough, that what he was doing was what Ron Springer calls stinking thinking. He died. He died as a result of this. He said, Herod, who had some Jewish ancestry, should have known better, and he forgot what the Jewish first of the Ten Commandments was: you shall have no other gods before me. And with his haughty thoughts of his own divinity, he displaced God with himself, and he suffered the consequences. And this can happen to any of us. We don't think of ourselves as God, but there's a horrific danger in attempting to step into God's shoes. In case you think that you've never done it, you need to think again. Anytime that you think you know more than God, or that you can do something better than God, you're putting yourself in his place. We can doubt. And we can even say, God, why did you do it that way? We can even say, without getting zapped or getting eaten up by worms, okay, God, I would have done it this way. But in the end, we have to have faith that what he did was the right way. This, the danger that atheists bring upon themselves is they make proclamations that only God could know. They're displacing him. For them to say that there is no God means that they are making themselves a God, because only God could know that. They might not get worms and die like Herod, but they're putting themselves on extremely dangerous ground. And I'm always interested that atheists, certain atheists, you know, an atheist who never talks about it is a true atheist. But an atheist who tries to get you to be an atheist is only ticked off at God. They're trying to prove to themselves that there is no God. Why be evangelistic about it? Anyway, regardless, don't be like Herod. Know your place. Know your place. It's just good here in the end. It's just good to stick to God's plan. Back to our account from Acts 12. In the two final sentences, which are the two last verses, God's plan was unfolding. We read, the word of God increased and multiplied. Over and over and over, we hear that in the last 10 verses, for sure. We have heard of people being added, numbers being added, thousands being added. The word of God increased and multiplied. No matter what kind of adversity, the enemies of the good news attempted, the church flourished even more. It's still that way. No matter how much humans try to suppress the church, it survives and grows. Okay? And when I wrote that down on Friday, I thought, is that really true? Is that really true? Because North Korea seems really, really closed. But we thought that about China. We thought that about China. And for there were many years during the, what was it called? It wasn't a shining path. That's anyway, for the it was a time from 1949 to 1980s when Mao finally died, where we didn't hear anything out of there, and we were sure that the gospel had died out. And then we find out that there's gajillions of them. And that's why we think that the gospel is being suppressed, and it is in Iran, but people are being saved. And so I thought, Korea seems really, really bad because that guy is a wacko. He needs Jesus desperately, and his sister is starting to take over, and she needs Jesus. And Christ followers have been suppressed there. But the church is there, and we need to be praying for them because they're eating like worms in Herod. The gospel is eating from the inside in Korea, North Korea. There was a mission movement that was also about to launch, okay, with two familiar names, Barnabas and Saul. Saul's still going by that name. His name hasn't suddenly changed to Paul. And they show up in the very last verse, and it's almost like this, that verse should have been back at the end of chapter 11, okay? Because it seems like it fits with their mission to take the relief to the Jerusalem church, which was suffering. And maybe Luke did that when he wrote it, because back then you couldn't cut and paste up there, okay? Who knows? But suddenly, Barnabas and Saul. But it is a teaser, okay? It is a teaser for the next message in the series, which is in 2 weeks. And we're going to see how, as the church expands, and with Barnabas and Saul and John Mark, that the Lord requires the best of the best. And here now, we'll draw to a close with this. The best laid plans are God's plans. They never fail. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this example from Acts, these exciting days. Where Peter inspired Charles Wesley, when Charles Wesley said that the prison cell lit up and his chains fell off and he went forth. Lord, thank you for that promise that it still happens. We are released from prison. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn today is from our hymnal, number 115, if you'd like to follow along there with the notes and the various parts. The words will also be on the screen.
Amen. Let's go and be Jesus to people. Amen.